Hello, hello, hello to all my lovers, winners, and dreamers. Welcome to Kiki with Gigi, a show where we dive into the chronically unexplored aspects of human consciousness, both at an individual and collective level. I am your host, Gigi La Tormenta. And today, to get the ball rolling, we will dive into one of the most foundational aspects of analytical psychology, the shadow. Now, I almost actually skipped over this topic because it is quite prevalent in pop psychology and New Age spirituality. And I also feel like there are so many sources on this, so many people have talked about this. But it is such a foundational topic for everything that we are going to be talking about on this show that I couldn't not talk about it, especially if there's the chance that someone actually has not encountered this concept yet. So if that sounds like you, then I'm doing this for you. So, the shadow is a term that was coined or popularized by Carl Jung, who was an analytical psychologist in the 1900s. If you've heard of the term shadow work or synchronicities, it was him. Now, did he come up with this concept? No. Because truth be told, it's something that humanity has been aware of for a long, long time, to the point of many myths, legends, and philosophies touching on this topic. And as scary as it might sound, what the term is actually describing is the aspects of ourselves that we have repressed or disidentified with. Now, this could be for many reasons, but I feel like the most common is that in childhood, when we are young and pure, we express ourselves authentically, and some aspects of our personality are more readily accepted than others. Those other parts tend to be repressed because it does not serve our survival or our acceptance within a particular social group, usually the immediate family dynamic with the caretaker. If our caretaker doesn't accept us and rejects us, we could die. But yes, in essence, the shadow is the aspects of our personality that we have repressed and or disidentified with for whatever reason. Now, these aspects don't necessarily have to be bad or negative. They can actually be quite positive, and we can actually have gifts and talents that are hidden within our shadow that we repressed for whatever reason. Maybe we grew up in a really strict, logical family, and so we learned to repress or disidentify with the aspects of ourselves that were creative and emotional. And so maybe we grow up unemotional. You know, there's kind of like a polarization with this. It's like our light side and our dark side, right? And I feel like a classic example of this in literature is the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, where essentially, if you don't know the story, Dr. Jekyll is attempting to cast out like the darker parts of himself so that he can be uninhibited and free and beautiful and da 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 da. So he makes this potion or whatever and he takes it. And what he inadvertently does is creates an alter ego, Mr. Hyde, who is just purely dark and quite destructive, actually. And as the story goes on, there is kind of like this fight for the driver's seat between Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, with Mr. Hyde, the darker side of the split personality, kind of taking over more and more against the will of Dr. Jekyll. And I feel like this paints a perfect picture of how our shadow manifests in our lives. Just because we have repressed or disidentified with these parts of ourselves doesn't mean that they're not there anymore. They very much are there, they're just under the surface in the subconscious or the unconscious. And so what will end up happening is the shadow actually finds really creative ways to manifest itself subconsciously or unconsciously. Inevitably, what this looks like is the shadow actually taking a role in shaping our behaviors and our decisions. This can look like self-sabotage. It can look like harmful patterns that we keep finding ourselves in, or a certain type of person that we keep attracting to us, even though we know they are not good for us. So, yeah, it can be quite tricky, especially when it remains unchecked and repressed. It's like a volcano. You can try to put a cork on it, but will that really stop an eruption? No. In fact, it might actually make the eruption more explosive and more destructive. So it is imperative that we examine this part of ourselves and the role that it takes in our behaviors and decisions. So, you may be asking, well, if it's subconscious, how can I become aware of my shadow aspects? And the simple answer to that question is shadow work. And though it's quite self-explanatory, shadow work is, in essence, working with these parts of ourselves by analyzing these patterns, analyzing our triggers and cycles that we continue to find ourselves in. And essentially what the goal of shadow work is to integrate and accept these aspects of our personality into our consciousness. One thing to keep in mind that it's very important to remain non-judgmental about this process. Because these are aspects of ourselves that we've repressed for a reason, chances are in most cases that these aspects and the emotions surrounding them are usually bound in shame. And so it can be very triggering and quite tricky to work with this in a way that is constructive to the personality rather than destructive. Some of the benefits of exploring and understanding the shadow is wholeness. Doing this kind of work can really shift you out of this kind of black and white thinking, I'm good or I'm bad, this person is good or bad. And something that's actually coming to mind is this saying that basically an individual can only understand you as deep as they have understood themselves. So, this work is important because the deeper you understand yourself, the deeper you will be able to understand others. You will shift out of this kind of like superficial mentality where appearances are everything and cultivate discernment and compassion for both yourself and others. This brings clarity, which is essential to navigating the world and navigating yourself. Now, one important thing to note is the shadow actually does influence our relationships as well as our interactions with others in ways that we may not fully understand because, again, it's coming from a subconscious level. These are subconscious patterns and cycles that reflects our inner beliefs and our conditionings, the lessons taught to us by our caretakers in what it means to be a good person or to act right. As I said before, this can look like attracting the same kinds of people or the same kinds of partners that we may intuitively know that aren't good for us, but we just can't seem to let them go. There's another saying that comes to mind that essentially is we don't see others how they are. We see them as we are. So if you're seeing someone who is exhibiting traits that mirror your shadow aspects, chances are you will react to them in ways that can be quite unpredictable. This can look like anger, jealousy, violence even, but also over-fawning or over-idealizing or putting people on a pedestal. It's like, oh, I wish I was like them more. I wish I was artistic. I wish I was creative. I can't even imagine being a leader. Chances are, these traits have stuck out to you for a reason, and that's something to keep in mind moving forward. So, if you've ever tried to work on yourself and maybe found some progress, but after some time, it almost felt like you kept falling back into the same loops no matter how hard you tried, that is an example of the shadow manifesting in a way that inhibits growth. And this can be for many reasons. Maybe you are scared of success. Maybe you don't actually believe that you are worthy of success or growth. Maybe you feel like you deserve to stay exactly where you are. And so, what the shadow will do is try to keep us within this comfort zone and keeps us in this safe space where things are always the same. And this is an understandable response or reaction, rather, because essentially, this is all part of the ego. And the ego is the part of ourselves whose sole purpose is to keep us alive. That is survival. So you'll notice people who move from the ego rather than the heart actually tend to chase power or lash out at anyone who challenges their perspective or beliefs about the world or even their way of life. Because again, its sole purpose is to keep us alive. And I think this is one of the reasons why we as people are scared of change, scared of the unknown. Because if you think about it, civilization as we know it has only been around for an extremely small fraction of the total history of humanity. For a large portion of our history, we were hunters and gatherers. And it very much was a survival game in those days. And in terms of survival, change can be quite dangerous. And in those times, especially, could equate to death. So it is very much part of our code to kind of have this repulsion or hesitancy surrounding change, uncertainty, and the unknown. Understand that embracing the shadow can and will lead to greater authenticity and learning to take this mask down and show up as ourselves. And the more of our shadow that we integrate in our personality, the more whole we are as people. And that's another thing with people who don't do this work and are purely driven by the ego. You'll notice that they actually may be really good at what they do and succeed quite easily playing the social game or the power game. But an experience that is quite common with these people is that they will reach this point that they had dreamed of and realize that there's still something missing. There's still this void inside. And it can be quite confusing and disorientating because they deeply held this belief that this goal or this place in life was going to make them happy. The thing is that happiness and wholeness isn't something that we do, it's something that we are. If you know of Sadhguru, he often talks about the human equation kind of being reversed. Instead of being to having to doing, we do to have to be. This doesn't work because it's coming from a place of chasing something, which comes from the ego's attempt at securing stability and even immortality. All right, my friends, that's all I have to say on this particular topic today. I hope this brought you some clarity. If you have some questions, chances are we will be answering them in the future episodes. Again, this was just kind of touching on a foundational topic. But if you do have any questions and just cannot wait 7 days, I invite you to message me on Instagram. My username is Gigi La Tormenta. That's Gigi La Tormenta. All right, my friends, if you made it this far, thank you so much. Part of my own individual work is actually coming to understand that what I have to say has value and deserves to be expressed. And it sounds like duh, Gigi, but for a long time I truly believed that I didn't have anything to contribute. And it took a long time for me to get to where I am. But I'm here, and truly wholeness is already within us. It just kind of takes a little bit of focus, a little bit of attention, a little bit of consciousness to kind of arrange the puzzle pieces in a way that creates a full and whole picture rather than being scattered around, kind of messy and disorganized. So, yes, in conclusion, do the work because it's worth it. And you're worth it. Mwah. Ciao.